The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Ladies and gents, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. We have a special episode coming for you today. Of course, you guys know we're biased when it comes to positions in the game of football. Hint, we played in the DB area. We played in the secondary, played cornerback. So anytime we get an opportunity to talk to fellow defensive backs, we're jumping at the chance. Man, we have a treat for you guys today. If you're fans of the NFL, if you're fans of quality sound defensive back play, you're going to be a fan of this episode. We only have half of this duo joining us here, but we do have an individual joining us from the Man to Man Pod. It's an outstanding podcast. If you guys haven't caught wind of it yet, please do so. When it comes to talking entertainment, when it comes to talking social topics, when it comes to talking football, they do it all, similar to what we do here, All Things Covered. But the portion of the podcast that we have here joining me tonight is a 9-year NFL pro. He's an outstanding athlete, played for a few organizations. You might remember him when getting drafted with the Patriots. Did a lot of damage during his time there in Indy. An outstanding cover guy, command the slot the way it's supposed to be commanded throughout his time in the National Football League. His co-host is also a guy that did a lot of damage in the National Football League. 14-year NFL pro and Super Bowl champion Antoine Bethea, along with Darius Butler, as you see right there on your screen, joining us here, All Things Covered. Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. You can follow these guys, by the way, on social media. When you talk about on Twitter and Instagram, the pod is at the Man to Man Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Man to Man Podcast is available on podcast platforms with their own YouTube channel as well. So make sure you go shower them down with nothing but support, because these guys are doing a great job. DB, first and foremost, man, how you doing? And thank you for joining me.
B, man, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
No question. Of course, you know, sometimes we might get some help from the safety standpoint. Sometimes we might get some help from another corner. But right now, me and you on the island, we got to get the job done ourselves, because Pat P is not here. And of course, Antoine Bethea is not here. So let's jump right into the beginning of the Man to Man Pod. Me and Pat P, we've shared the origin of our story on how our podcast became a reality. But how did you guys, you and AB, link up to come up with this outstanding idea to create a podcast?
Man, you know what? This was actually, we started in the middle of the pandemic, actually, in 2020. And the pandemic obviously is still going on, but in kind of the middle of it getting started, July 2020. And I had already started kind of doing my thing with Everything DB, which is something that I just will put breakdowns on of like secondary play and really get into the intricate details of defenses. And then AB hit me up and was like, man, you know, kind of threw the podcast idea out there. And I was kind of like, oh, you know what, that'd be dope. And we just started doing it. Reached out to my guy, Pat McAfee, who's obviously crushing it in the podcast and on the YouTube and the streaming space, and he actually helped us a lot along the way, and let us shoot our first few episodes actually through his studio, and it's just going from there. You know, it definitely hasn't been perfect from the beginning, but I always tell people, because a lot of people now reach out to me and be like, I'm sure the same thing happens to you. Yep. Hey man, I'm thinking about starting a pod, man, what should I do, what should I buy, what should I? And I'm just like, man, whatever, you know, get what you need to get, but just start doing it. Just show up. That's the hardest part, is showing up and just doing it. And I think the more you show up, the more you do it, the better you'll get at it with reps. And we've been enjoying it, man. We've been enjoying it a lot.
Oh, no question. Same can be said for us, man. Me, myself, and Pat P, man. This is another way to communicate, and also, too, to inform and educate people that might not be as familiar when it comes to the game of football, the ins and outs, like we are. Let's talk about a team you're definitely familiar with, and you follow, you know, from day to day. And you and AB played together on this team. Let's talk about the Colts, AB. DB.
Yep.
Let's talk about the Colts, man. Number one, my producer, who you can't see, but you've heard, you know, get you together when it comes to audio and visually for our podcast. He's a big time Carson Wentz fan. He loves Carson Wentz to death. I had my reservations concerning regarding Carson Wentz, but what's going to happen with the Colts and Carson Wentz this upcoming season, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, Carson Wentz's future looks bleak right now in Indy. And this was somebody that we were talking about going way back to maybe last year, the year before. No, this was the year before when he was still on Philly. We were talking in Clubhouse a lot, me, you, and AB.
Yep.
That was kind of the thing. Hey, Carson Wentz, he may end up in Indy. He may get his career back reviving, back restarted. And he didn't have a terrible year. Didn't even have a bad year, honestly. But when they needed him most in the big games, he didn't show up. And it wasn't all his fault, but he didn't show up. And he didn't really look like the answer that a lot of us, you know, hoped he would be in Indy. You know, you gave up a second-round pick, which ended up being a first-round pick because he played over 75% of the snaps. And from my standpoint, it's like, if you're going to move on from the guy, we got to upgrade. And who's out there that we can upgrade? You got Aaron Rodgers, potentially. You got Russell Wilson, potentially. Maybe even Deshaun Watt. We'll see. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. So I'm kind of hesitant on just moving on from the guy before we have a real option to upgrade. But it doesn't look like, you know, he'll be there going forward. And it's been a revolving door at that position since Andrew Luck left. You know, Luck left. We had Brissett. We had Phillip Rivers for a year. Carson Wentz came. And with Jim Irsay kind of putting out some tweets and different things about being all in and needing a quarterback that can score 30 a game, it was kind of interesting. So it's gonna be something to keep an eye on what Frank Wright and Chris Ballard do out there in Indy at that quarterback position.
Well, let me ask you this question, Darius. Do you believe Carson Wentz, his best years are behind him? Because remember, when this deal became a reality with them shipping him to Indy, everyone was jumping for joy. And I'm pretty sure you were definitely optimistic about what their relationship could become based on the experience they had established and working together. Frank Wright, when he was there in Philly, working with Carson Wentz. And
gotta take a sip of my drink, man. You got me stressing about my thing about my Colts. And
hey, Carson. They didn't reach the expectations. It's safe
to say, not even close.
They were a better team with Phillip Rivers, old man Phillip Rivers, than Carson Wentz. So if Carson Wentz couldn't get things together with Frank Wright, who a guy who he loved and wanted to be coached by, if he can't get it together with Frank Wright, what do you think, what's next for Carson Wentz?
I mean, it's tough and it's crazy. You know how this league is, man. You know, one year you could be in the penthouse, and next year, you know, you're in the doghouse, and vice versa. So he can potentially bounce back. He can bounce back, and if the Colts, let's say they do stick with him, and Frank Wright stays, because Frank Wright, you know, his seat may be getting a little warmer as well, because Chris Ballard has put together a roster where you had the most Pro Bowlers in the league last year. You had 7 Pro Bowlers and you don't even make the playoffs. And like you mentioned earlier, you get Phillip Rivers, old man Phil, he at least got you to the playoffs, and you go get Carson, who I'm sure Frank Wright stood on the table for, and you take a step back and you don't even win as many games or get to the playoffs. So I hate to write him off because he is still a young player at that position, at the quarterback position, and we've seen how talented he can be. So I'm holding out hope and optimism that there can still be some, you know, unleashing of that talent that's inside him. But just watching him, I don't see that confidence there. And at that quarterback position, you have to have the ultimate confidence, not only in yourself, but the pieces around you, the coaches around you. So it'll be interesting to see how they upgrade with the weapons around them. And if Carson, he just got to play better, man. He had one of the best running backs and O-lines in the league last year. So it's on him to just step his game up. It's a results business. He got to step his game up and play better. But I'm not going to write him off just yet. He's too young for me to do that.
I mean, you might not write him off, but I think his time in Indy should be done.
A lot of people feel the same way.
Not getting to the playoffs and the way they did not get to the playoffs and losing to Jacksonville in a ball game where you needed to rely on his arm. That play 60 arm would not warm up for him because they remember they were stuffing the run.
Yeah.
You can't, and
trust me. It always falls on the quarterback. As me and you know, the quarterback, you know, they get too much praise when things are going good, and I think they get too much blame when things are going bad. And if you watch that game like I did, Trevor Lawrence looked the best he looked all year. Like that was the first game. Yeah, that was the first game he looked like, okay, the number one overall pick, the future of the franchise, you know, down there in Jacksonville. So it was on that defense. Same thing in the Raiders game, the game before that. So they had two games at the end of the year where it was our destinies in our own hand, and they dropped the ball, laid the egg on both of them. So some of that falls on the quarterback, but to me, that falls on the coach as well, and that falls on the rest of those leaders in that organization. Because if you got to go down to Jacksonville, you got to hold them to 10 points to get in the playoffs, then yeah, that's what you just got to do. You know what yeah. I mean? With all those names on that defense, mentioned it before, seven Pro Bowlers, like, you got to figure out a way to get it done, and nobody did. So Carson definitely deserves a significant amount of blame, but it's enough for it to go around for sure.
No question, no doubt. And Carson hasn't been the same since they built that dang statue of Nick Foles outside the link.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's been a big question mark about him for me. Mental toughness. We know how important it is in this game at any position, especially at the quarterback position. So where's his mental toughness? You see reports coming out now about his leadership and all that. I haven't heard any of those issues from the guys that I know in the Colts. But you know, if there's no significant upgrade out there, and I think Jimmy G is an upgrade. A lot of people don't think that. I think Jimmy G will be an upgrade, but Jimmy G, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson,
I agree,
and obviously Deshaun Watson,
all of those guys
upgrades. But outside of that, I would stick with Carson.
You know the old saying, don't complain about a problem if you don't have an answer.
This is a fact. This is a fact.
You better have an answer if you're complaining about Carson Wentz as a quarterback, and it better be a better answer than what he provided.
Matter of fact, that's still his jersey behind you. You spend a lot of time in that organization. What y'all going to do at quarterback? It's a big question mark out there in Pittsburgh.
I'm going to keep it real with you, DB. I don't believe for us to be competitive and successful, the answer is not on the roster right now.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with you there.
It's not on the roster. And we're talking about Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz would be an upgrade over the two guys that we currently have.
I agree. And I've seen some potential with him being in Pittsburgh. I've seen some Jimmy Garoppolo. I saw some Jameis Winston.
Yep.
So I've seen some names. And now with B Flow coming there, with the Flores hire, you know, they've had some connection with Deshaun Watson in the past. Obviously, Deshaun got to take care of his legal issues. We'll see how that shakes out. But
yeah,
that could be something to watch as well. Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see.
We'll see. And one thing we know about the game, playing the game and watching the game, if you don't have a quarterback, that field is 150 yards. You got to drive longer.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, guess what, guys? I know earlier we jumped into this conversation with only one half of the man-to-man pod, but get this, as DB knows safeties, sometimes they do their own thing. They kind of move to their own beat of their drum.
Sometimes that help just come late.
No question, that help just come a little late, but they always on time. Might not get there where you want them to get there, but they on time. Get this? AB Antoine Bethea is now with us as well. The duo Man to Man Pod is here on the show, All Things Covered. Man, AB number one, thank you for joining us. We kind of got things rolling already, but we always can utilize some safety help over the top. And this was a topic that was a big discussion point over the weekend. And I'm pretty sure you guys definitely have a strong opinion about this topic. Over the weekend, B-Flo, Brian Flores, was hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers after a few weeks of exposing some things going on in the NFL. Were you guys surprised to see him back in the league? And I was not surprised, and I told Pat P this. I don't think he would be a head coach ever again, but I was definitely happy that Pittsburgh went out and brought him in on the defensive staff to some degree. So first question for AB, were you surprised to see Pittsburgh go out and bring in B-Flo as an assistant coach?
No, I was. I was, especially with the lawsuit still fresh. I didn't think that he would be on the coaching staff this soon.
Yeah.
But I tip my hat off to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, for making the move. And even, you know, B-Flo, he stated it when, you know, throughout his interviews, like, man, I doubt or I won't be surprised if I am a head coach in this league, you know? So again, man, I am shocked by the move, but I'm glad it's a move that's been made.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm right there with AB, man. Definitely shocked by it. If you look at it from the football standpoint, it's a no-brainer. You know, Pittsburgh just hired the best linebacker coach in the NFL because we all know he'll be a top probably 15 head coach if he had that job. But obviously, we're all surprised by it because of the ongoing litigation, the lawsuit. But good on the Rooneys, man. And obviously, the Rooneys, you know, implemented the Rooney Rule a couple of decades ago. Now this is kind of them, I guess, and somewhat taking a stand, but on the football side of it, like I said, it's an easy move. It's a no-brainer for them. So I'm happy to see it. Happy to see Mike Tomlin be a part of it too, because over his tenure in Pittsburgh, he's kind of been, you know, people have talked about his lack of diversity at the coordinator. So you got Terrell Austin, the first black coordinator. Now you're going to add B-Flo to the staff. So it's a good look on everybody. And from the football side of it, the Steelers got better.
Well, is it safe to say for all three of us right now, I know how I feel. So let me say it to you guys. Do you think he would ever, ever be a head coach in the National Football League again?
I think so.
If you'd asked me yesterday, I would have said hell no. Or not yesterday, right, but two, three days ago, I would have said hell no, never again. But the fact that he's back in the league, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a head coach again.
Yeah, and especially, you know, with, you know, the Steelers defense, the run defense was kind of sour last year. So if he's able to come in and make some huge improvements to that defense as a linebackers coach, I see him, you know, having that head.
Especially if he can, because Devin Bush, another South Florida kid, he didn't have a great season this year. If B-Flo can come in this year and you get Devin Bush having back to his, because I thought he was on that trajectory of being like an all-pro caliber linebacker, but he took a step back last year. Yeah, I know he dealing with some injuries and dealt with, you know, the loss of the coach and loss in his life. But if he can turn him around, I think, for sure, I think he gets another shot at being a head coach pretty soon.
Well, I hope you guys are right. I feel the opposite. I don't think he will. Only time will tell. But just having this opportunity clearly can show the coach that he is, what type of coach he is. But like you said, if he can kind of change some things around for their defense, that definitely will, you know, raise some antennas. But we have to wait and see. Let's transition to an NFC team. You know, both individuals that I'm going to ask you about, you guys are familiar with. Darius, you played with Tom Brady in New England. Yep. AB, you played under Bruce Arians when he was there in Arizona. What are your thoughts on the reports on how their relationship soared? And do you think there's a chance that TB12 comes back to Tampa? Let's start with you, DB.
So when I saw the report, I didn't really believe it. But what I'll tell you is, from my experience, Brady and B.A. is a great offensive coach. Tom Brady's obviously a great quarterback, but they approach the game differently. Like, Brady is like everything is super meticulous and very Belichick. Like Arians is a little more laid back, a little more straight to the point, but still a great football mind. So they are very different personalities. So the reports didn't surprise me, didn't shock me. It may have some truth to them, but BA came out today and refuted them. But both great, like I said, great coach, great quarterback. Wasn't shocked by the reports. I think, I don't know, that's all I say. Wasn't shocked by the reports.
Yeah, I'm with you, D-Buck. Playing under Arians first in Indy and then going out there to AZ. BA can rub some people the wrong way if you're not used to that, right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was talking to D-Butt, and it was just like, you know, growing up, I'm accustomed to having that, you know, the edgy coaching style, you know what I mean? Where you might have one or two MFs here and there, whatever the case may be. But so along with what D-Butt was saying, I wasn't surprised by the reports about just their relationship. But I don't think we'll see TB12 back in Tampa.
Safe to say that.
I agree. I mean, okay if he comes back because definitely gives us a lot to talk about. I'm more of a fan of Tom Brady watching him than playing against him. And, you know, just continue to add to his legacy is something that, you know, I'm okay in watching. But I don't think he will return. But if he comes back, you better believe that storyline, the narrative in the NFC changes dramatically if he goes back to Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't think we see him back in Tampa. I don't think we see him back. You know, he hung it up. But yeah, they saying San Fran. If he do come back, that'd be crazy.
That would be.
Hey, speaking of comebacks, any chance we see y'all former teammate Andrew Luck come back to the league?
Very slim, very slim. I would say AB shaking his head. He said no. I would say it's a slim chance. I give it a 8% chance right now.
Man, Andrew Luck is living life, man. 12 is living life, man. He like, yo, I'm back healthy. Nah, I don't see it.
So but he's been removed. He's been how many years away from the game? But this was his second full year, right?
Is that it? It's only been two.
I thought it was longer than that.
Because you had to this three, I think.
This two, because they had Phillip and just had Carson.
Nah, but the year before that, they had Brissett. He retired that year.
I'm with AB. He just finished his third year at the house, chilling on the couch. He not
I don't know,
back.
Man. I'm holding out hope. The last time I spoke to him, you could tell football was the furthest thing from his mind. But, you know, who knows? You get that itch. It's still question marks at the position. I think he is still in Indy a lot or in that Indy area. So you never know, man. Body might start feeling good again. He might start hitting the weight room. You might see 12 back in there. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, all right?
Hey, I tell you this much. They can use him in Indy right now.
That's damn right.
They'll drop Carson quick. It don't matter if he was on the couch for 4 years. They'd take Luck over Carson right now.
No question.
Hey, AB, so you and I, we share something in common that we won Super Bowls during our rookie seasons. What was the most special part of your Super Bowl run?
Man, that's tough, man. As you know, that it's so many. I would say the playoffs for us just because our run defense was horrible that year. And for some reason, we flipped that switch. We played Kansas City the first game. They had Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson, at that time, he was the rushing leader that year. Mm-hmm. And we ended up holding them to like 30 some yards rushing that game.
Wow.
And from there, you know, we went to Baltimore, played Steve McNair and the Ravens, man. And obviously that AFC Championship game, playing Brady and the New England Patriots, you know, coming back, you know, from I think we was down like 20 some points, 17 points. So I would say that whole playoff run was special, man. It's so many other moments I could kind of point to. But that playoff run, man, was special for us.
I want to ask both of y'all this real quick, because like you said, both of y'all did this in y'all rookie year. And I know coming in from my rookie year, even though we lost in the playoffs first or second, I can't remember, but that was the longest time. Like, you going from your college season, then it's off season preparing for the draft, you get drafted, preseason, and then the longest football season you've ever had in your life. And y'all went all the way to the big one. So, like, what was it, obviously outside of yourself, but like, y'all had to have some vets, some leadership, somebody had to help y'all along the way and get and keep y'all on that track once you hit that rookie wall. So like, who was it? I gotta start with you, B-Mac. Who was it for you?
Man, it was a mental a mental battle, because by the end of November, I was kind of in shutdown mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you know anything about the National Football League in November, that's when you kick it in high gear if you have any expectations in playing in the playoffs. But for me, it was like, man, like, I'm used to season over. The mm-hmm. body started to ache a little more. It started to get cold outside. And you guys know about this, playing in those type of conditions. Even though you might not be participating in those cold elements every day, just waking up in the morning.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Just that transition from leaving your house to getting into your car was a battle. You know what I'm saying? So we had a lot of leadership that was a part of our team that kind of kept everybody motivated. But me personally, I was like, man. But then when we got into the playoffs, I got re-energized. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this much. My second year, we missed the playoffs by one game. That's when Big Ben had the motorcycle accident and everything like that. When we missed the playoffs, I wasn't crying that we missed the playoffs.
You
I ain't
cool.
gonna lie to you. Yeah. I needed a break. Mentally, I needed a break, and physically, I needed a break. So that second year, I was like, "Man, we ain't making the playoffs, man. I want to play in the playoffs, but I ain't really tripping that we ain't make the playoffs either, because I needed a break.
This trip about to get booked ASAP."
My first year, man. Looking back on a blessing in disguise, right when I'm about to hit that rookie wall, I got injured. I had an AC sprain. Missed 3 weeks. And it's crazy. Bill Polian came to me and said, "Hey, this is probably good for you, because we're gonna have a long run." And sure enough, man, those 3 weeks I was able to get mentally back, you know, get back in a good mental space, man. But for me, man, I got that AC sprain and was good money.
That's what's up.
No question. Question for you, both of you guys. I think this is a hot topic. We're gonna talk about this all off season long. Who do you believe, what guys do you anticipate seeing becoming the biggest quarterback, you know, move during this free agency window? You talk about trades, you talk about just being moved. What names do you anticipate seeing on potentially playing elsewhere this upcoming season? Let's start with you first, Darius.
Man, I would say the biggest name, I think Aaron Rodgers ends up staying in Green Bay, but I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson. I think if he can handle his legal stuff, Deshaun Watson would be the biggest. You know, I see his name kind of coming up more and more, saying that the Texans aren't really changing their stance on what their asking price, essentially, with those question marks. So I think they know that he'll be able to be moved soon. So I say Deshaun Watson is going to be that biggest quarterback that moves and goes elsewhere.
That's a good one. I'm going to go Russell Wilson.
You think Russell go elsewhere?
I think so. I think the time in Seattle is up, you know. And obviously, you know, I will say the past 2 years, the teams haven't been playing really well. On the sideline, you see a lot of, you know, back and forth, but, you know, DK upset, not getting the rock. I just think, you know, what Russell was able to do in Seattle with the Legion of Boom and things, it was good. You know, he was able to get him. Well, he got one.
Yeah.
So I think Russell might be that big name for me.
Man, I definitely believe it would be great if Russell can play elsewhere. If he has any championship aspirations, he need to leave, because I don't see getting it done in that division with San Francisco. Yeah. Regardless of who the quarterback is in San Francisco, that's a team that's ready to win right now. We know about the Rams, and, you know, hopefully the Cardinals can get healthy along with DeAndre Hopkins. That's more than a serviceable team. But one thing about Deshaun Watson, DB, I like to piggyback on is, and I did this for CBS Sports HQ, I don't think he plays again this year. And the reason why I say that is because his legal situation is still in limbo. And if you look at where we are now in the offseason, we're getting ready to be into March. And with all the accusations that that's following him, that's connected to him, with so many victims coming out.
Yeah.
How fast can they kind of get things understood, the clarity? Because right now there's no clarity. And if you're a team that's willing to try to make a move with Deshaun Watson, and you know you might have to give up 2 to 3 first rounders, but you don't know exactly what his legal situation will be.
Yeah.
Or the punishment he might receive from the NFL. Because think about this. You remember when Ezekiel Elliott got hit with that suspension and it came out that he was actually innocent? He was clear to everything?
Yeah.
And that was only one victim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He got 4 games for that one victim. We're talking about, what, 20, 22 victims that have come out on record saying that something inappropriate happened between him and Deshaun Watson. So I think the fear factor from organizations, knowing that if we surrender all of these picks you guys want, and when we get him and now he gets hit with something legally, or the NFL comes down with their own punishment, that might be a bit too risky.
It, you know what? Extremely risky, because for starters,
nice.
For starters, these are very serious allegations.
Serious.
You know, let's start in there. But I just think when these type of reports start to come out, I just feel like, from my experience, like when this smoke is fire, I feel like they may know something that's leading to them to believe that Deshaun will be able to play sooner than later. And we know these owners and these teams, like, morality and morals, that ain't at the top of their list. If you got a quarterback that's a top 5 quarterback, if he's healthy and playing, available, we know these organizations will make that move if they know he's going to be able to play. So obviously, like you said, a lot of question marks there. Potentially he does not play this year. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But I also wouldn't be shocked to see him suspended for 6 games and starting for another team in week 7.
That's the best case scenario, I think, based on where we are in timing. If he gets hit with a 6-game suspension, there's an organization that's going to give them 2 first rounders for him.
That's what I was saying. Somebody's going to roll the dice for sure. Yeah.
That's the best case scenario, 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's 8 games, let's add 2 more games to that 6. I think that's still a good scenario than what it could be, because there's 22 victims.
Exactly. And we're just talking strictly from the football, from the organizational standpoint, from what, at least personally, what I've seen, you know, knowing what type of conduct may or may have taken place, you know, off of the field. So we're just talking from that standpoint. The legal and the accusations, that's a completely different, you know, basket that, you know, I don't know enough about it to get into, and that'll sort its way out, you know, in the legal and the justice system. But from the football side of things, I wouldn't be shocked either way.
Yeah, yeah. I hope he can play. I hope these things can get cleared up. I hope things get cleared up.
Yeah.
But, you know, with these allegations, man, and these victims, man, that's not a good situation to be. And then also, too, you got to remember, he's the face of the franchise because of the position he plays. And you got a lot of people that, you know, that support certain things in our life, in our world. So a lot of organizations understand some of the backlash they might receive.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of what he was associated with, if they bring him to this organization. But I hope I'm wrong, because I'm a Deshaun Watson fan.
Yeah.
But just think about, if this man is not able to continue his football career, you talk about a disappointment.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It'll be tough. And you know, those, like I said, those serious allegations. So if it's truth to him, if he go, you know, if the legal process played out and whatever, that's a part of, you got to live with that. I'm definitely not, you know. But if it, on the other side of that, if it's not much truth to him, or if it plays out a different way, I think he should be afforded the right to continue his career. So we'll see how it plays out.
No question.
Time will tell. Antoine, our Viking audience definitely will appreciate this question for you. But you spent one season playing under Ed Donatell in San Francisco. Of course, you know, he's a new DC for the Vikings. What were your impressions during that time of Coach Donatell? And, you know, what are your expectations from him now, knowing that he's the DC for the Vikings?
Man, I love Ed, man. Ed was, as we all were DBs, man, a DB coach we all would appreciate, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to give you what you need to know, but then he's going to let you go out there and be your own player. And that's one thing that I always appreciate about Ed, man. So obviously with him under Vic Fangio's system, I'm pretty sure he's going to be running the 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, just as a safety, it's a system a safety wants to play in, right?
Yeah.
So you can get, you can try to have your front seven as stout as possible, and then let your DBs go out there and make plays, man. So a smart coach, a family-oriented guy, man, and a people's person. So the Vikings, man, they got a hell of a coach, hell of a DC.
Well, I know Viking fans, definitely, they're going to love that. And I can tell you this much, Kevin O'Connell, he's putting together a pretty nice staff.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I think, I'm not sure if Kevin and, they was in San Fran, we was all in San Fran together.
Okay.
Yeah, I played with Kevin in New England my rookie year. I believe he was there in New England.
Okay, yeah. What was his role then, your rookie year? You remember?
I think it was maybe a third string back quarterback.
Oh yeah, he was. He was drafted in third or fourth round, right?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah, because we got Hoyer that year too. Me and him in the same draft class, and you had Brady, and I think O'Connell was the other quarterback. I think.
Now I'm thinking about it. It's San Fran all in that building over there in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
GM spent time in San Fran.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it happens. You know,
relationship
people they're familiar with, they come bring them aboard when they get an opportunity. Y'all know that's exactly why we see some of the same faces in different places.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we let you guys go, we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. I'm going to hit you with a few rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. All right. I love this first one. First one we got for you, for both of you guys. AB, you can take it first. Favorite DBs you love to watch in the NFL right now? It could be safety, it could be corner, it can be nickel.
Ooh.
But AB, who is that one guy you love watching put in work?
Buda Baker.
That heat-seeking missile.
Buda Baker.
Tell us why. Why are you a Buda Baker fan?
For one, man, you know, like you said, the way he plays the game, and you look at him, size, stature, you wouldn't think it's a lot, but just the way his mentality, the way he plays the game, he plays the position, that's the way it's supposed to be played. Obviously, man, you know, drafted him in Arizona his rookie year, and I was, you know, we was on the team together, but plays the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Okay. Darius, who you got?
This might catch the people off guard. Really like Kenny. I love what Kenny Moore does in the slot on the outside, but I'm going to go Casey Hayward, man. Casey Hayward played last year in Vegas with the Raiders. But technician, man. I love technician. Somebody that go about their business week in and week out. Kind of flies under the radar as far as on the big scene. But if you watch him play, he been consistent from the start of his career. So I go Casey Hayward.
I like that. I think he's going to definitely be a big-time addition to a playoff caliber team.
Yep.
This year with how well he played for the Raiders. So we have to wait.
The Colts, man, we got Gus Bradley. Hopefully Casey, follow him over there.
Yeah.
We need a corner out there.
You definitely do. All right, most talented teammate you ever played with? Who you got, DB? Ooh. Most talented teammate.
I got to go Randy Moss. I played with Randy Moss. And he wasn't the 28-year-old Randy Moss, but even still, the stuff he did in practice and stuff, I saw him doing games, that's just some stuff you see that's just different than anybody else you've seen. So I go Randy Moss.
What was one of the freakiest things you saw Moss do, either in practice or a game? You were like...
It just became like, you know how you're around some of those people, whether it's basketball, quarterbacks, whatever, where they just routinely do things that you haven't seen anybody else do. So I can't even point to one thing. It was just like every week you'll just see him do something and we'll just kind of look at each other like, you know, that's who he is. That's why he is. So I can't even point to one play specifically, but actually one play in against the Jets, against Revis. That big post.
Put his hand
and he
up.
Just caught it one hand and did it, and it just stuck in that hand.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah, that was one of the moments that sticks out for sure.
Antoine, who you got?
Man, this name might surprise y'all, but Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, don't surprise me.
Hey, B. Lloyd. And I'm just tell the listeners, man, y'all go type his name in the Google search and y'all just sit back and watch the highlight film of them catches that he made. Bro, like something crazy. And then we used to work out together in Arizona, man, and just seeing some of the things that he could do in the weight room And then they transfer over to the field.
Yeah,
like amazing athlete, amazing.
Yeah, that don't surprise me at all.
Wide receivers in the history of the game. He was catching passes like OBJ is catching before OBJ.
Facts.
Routine though, just routine. Facts. Yeah,
routine. Yeah. Yeah, he was special. He made me touch canvas when we. So I got the ultimate respect for him. Man, this dude hit. He broke, I don't know how, like he put his foot in the ground and went so low. I'm like, it's no way. I said, oh my God.
And his toe tap was mean too. He always got both ends
on it. Yeah, yeah.
He was slept on for sure.
No question. This last question, I kind of think I know the answer to for both of y'all, but I want to hear what you got to say. Best coach you ever played for?
Oh yeah, I know AB. And you know mine, Belichick, played with Belichick, got drafted by him, played there 2 years. And if I'm talking football, thinking football, I'm using something that I learned from him, the whole way through. So Belichick, easily.
Coach Dungy, for me, man, just the way he approached the game, the way he approached, you know, his coaches, his players, everybody that was around him, his mannerisms, man. It was just one of them things I think it might have hindered me in my career because, you know, coming into this thing as a rookie, I'm like, oh, this is what a head coach is supposed to be. So, obviously, throughout my career, I'm trying to, you know, size all my head coaches up to Coach Dungy, which was, you know, tough to do. But, Coach Dungy, by far for me.
That's what I expected to hear. Two outstanding legends. Two of the greatest to ever do it. So, no surprise there. But I can tell you this much, man. This was a great conversation with two outstanding men, high character guys, great football minds. 9-year NFL pro Darius Butler, 14-year NFL pro and Super Bowl champion Antoine Bethea, representing HBCU, by the way.
Representing HBCU, by the way.
Like I said, man, for our listeners and our viewers tuning in right now, the Man to Man podcast, it's available on podcast platforms, but you can also watch them visually. They have their own YouTube channel. Please give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Man to Man Pod. Man, two outstanding individuals, DB, AB. Thank you for joining us here, All Things Covered. Man, great conversation. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you for having us, man.
Appreciate you. Yeah, for sure.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.